analogy.
Now, if Anna from Australia asks, if all goes well with the shark, will you be building larger models to fit more than two people inside, or will it really just be two pretty much?
Well, my expectation is that as we look down the road at future products, would be that we would be going for a succession of ever lighter and more efficient vehicles rather than aiming for full-size cars. There's already a whole constellation of existing companies that are working on solving the car problem. Mm-hmm. And what we're really trying to solve is the mobility problem, which is solving that everyday mobility challenge people have. So once we've really nailed that 76% of the driving use cases, then we may well turn to larger format vehicles. But my expectation really is that we're gonna really try and continue to drive environmental efficiency for the common case driving pattern.
Okay. Now, we only have a few more questions for you, but this is Jane X from Australia, and she asks, if you haven't been using solar batteries yet, will you use solar panels in the future because they are totally green?
You can definitely charge the vehicle from a solar panel. The vehicle itself, the base model doesn't have a solar panel on it, just because the amount of surface area that you have to charge would only have a sort of a marginal effect on your overall driving, you know, drive charge capability. Certainly possible to do, but absolutely, just the idea that we can drive from the sun, where you have a solar panel and a very efficient electric vehicle, I think is just awesome, right? You never go to a gas station again. You don't even need to go to the grid again.
Drive right by. Wave at them.
That's what Nathan did in his video with Arkimoto. He just drove in there for fun to a gas station.
Just charge off that great nuclear reactor in the sky.
Now, Castle Tappan fan, or Tappan Castle fan, I should say, I had it backwards, Shelley from Florida asks, after attending an environmental science program in high school, I personally feel that commercial media and social trends have encouraged wastefulness of energy in people today, especially the younger generation. Do you have any ideas of making environmentalism more appealing to these young people with your vehicles? To make these appealing, you've got the shark there as appealing, right? Just
I think everything, elements like it's fun to drive and it looks cool and it's sporty and so on, those are all elements of the process. I sort of think of it as the spoonful of sugar, right? It's the element that makes you go, oh, you know, adopting this way of moving and so on is not a sacrifice. I'm actually enjoying my ride more. I'm getting more out of it personally, and to me that almost allows you to enjoy the clean aspect of it more as well. So I think we've gone from a time period when environmental awareness and environmental behavior was all about sacrifice, and that was kind of the core message, was that we need to sort of bear the cross for all of us to survive. And I think the real challenge with that is that it's a message strategy that doesn't work. So the important step I think to make today is that adopting better behaviors actually makes your life better, makes it more fun, makes it more pleasant, gives you advantages versus continually asking you to sort of sacrifice on behalf of everyone else. Not that sacrificing on behalf of everyone else is a bad idea, but just that it's a tough sell.
Well, you know, I drove around today. I had to make these trips. I'm being very conscious.
In your gas
of
hog?
I know. No, it's a Saturn. It's a bucket of plastic is what it is. Anyway, all I kept seeing was one person in every car.
Isn't that just amazing?
I think you hit on a very key point, that even with these huge vehicles or little vehicles, there's one person in it, the person driving it. Yes, if
right.
you had the carpool, or yeah, you were going on a vacation, yeah, you do need that regular car or that full-size vehicle that the big manufacturers are going to try to, you know, corner the market on. But I just looked around. I'm sitting at a red light. Every single car around me, all four people sections that are stopped, all had one person in them.
Yeah, and you know, go back to 1910 when 1908 when the Model T hit the road. And that one tool that solves all of your needs was absolutely the way to go. Fast forward 100 years, there are 300 million automobiles on the road in America. We don't need more full-size gas-guzzling beasts.
Well, then
what we
think
need
of
are,
China.
Yeah, exactly. So and especially when you look at things like vehicle sharing services, companies like Zipcar, Flexcar,
mm-hmm.
the really cool new company that I've been watching lately is a company called Getaround that actually lets you rent your vehicle to other people.
I have
both area. It's super, super cool. But if you think about it, if I can just hit a button on my phone and five of my neighbor's cars are available for hourly rental, I don't need to own a pickup truck or a van.
Yeah, but
or
what about
Prius?
The insurance?
Yeah.
Would be sky high to rent these things out to people. Their driving
that's actually,
record.
That's one of the cool things that they did, is that they actually worked an arrangement with an insurance provider so that they're fully insured by this third party whenever somebody else is driving it.
Mm.
So it doesn't affect your insurance rates or anything like that.
So
they've kind of figured out the solution to the whole peer-to-peer car sharing, and it's very, very cool. But the thing that's cool about it to me is that all of a sudden, I don't need to own any of those vehicles. The only one I need to own really is the one that I'm using on a regular basis, and for that one, I want to have the most appropriate, most efficient solution I can possibly find.
Car rental places will hate that deal. But think about this. We have the three, you know, the major motor companies. Why haven't they really? I know Chevy has something out, Nissan, and different ones. But you'd think they would have tried this 30 years ago because of the gasoline problems around the world. And are they just, like, holding back because they make so much money in the gasoline itself that they don't want to get these cars out on the market faster?
Well, I think that has actually been one of the challenges for the majors in terms of coming into the electric vehicle space, is that essentially every positive selling point of the electric car is an indictment of their existing major product line. Right? So
true.
If you're expecting that you're going to sell, that 1% of your market is going to be this new electric vehicle thing, and the other 99% is all internal combustion, and you're spending a bunch of advertising dollars telling people that they shouldn't drive internal combustion cars, you have a real challenge. And this is not a new phenomenon. It's sort of the innovator's dilemma, classic business disruption theory. But it's tough for existing institutions within a space to really innovate in ways that challenge their own core business.
Well, people, like Cheryl and I were talking before the show today, people, this, your car is your status thing. You know, everybody thinks that their fancy car and that the label of it, you know, they have to have this fancy car that makes them some symbol of something. They don't want to give it up. They're scared to death that they'll go somewhere and the battery will run dead and they're stuck somewhere and they can't wait 2 hours or 6 hours to charge it up. So they're less likely to give up their automobile with the gas in it, because, you know, a lot of trucks and stuff out there have two tanks, you know, in your motorhomes and different things. So they're kind of less likely to want to try electric cars because they're so comfortable in their gasoline cars that they've grown up with. So it's a change thing that's scary to change.
It is. It is. It is until you try it. And then you
right.
say, oh, wait, this behaves just, you know, I press on this pedal and it's fun and zippy and it's quiet and I don't actually have to go to that gas station anymore. I can just plug it in at the convenience of my home. I think for the longer haul trips where you're trying to get from from Southern California to the Bay Area or from Eugene to Seattle or whatever, that becomes a real factor, because then you say, well, I'm actually going to have to spend 2 hours of my trip just plugged in, charging up. That's a limiter. But when the question is, how do I get down to the local grocery store and then to work and then home, you can just do some simple math and say, well, I'm only going 10 miles total. My battery charge can easily take me there and have plenty of margin to spare. I think also now that we're seeing more and more charging stations roll out, that actually kind of cuts that range anxiety in half, because there's the possibility that when I do go downtown that there's someplace I can plug in and get preferred parking and so on.
Will you ever think that your cars would in time have two batteries that we could flip over like you do from one tank to another in like a pickup truck, where you could like switch it over and go another 40 miles on that battery and charge off?
Well, yeah, ultimately, I would like to see the full-day battery in the vehicle, so something that lets me drive for one full day of driving, 500 miles, 600 miles on one charge. And it's, I think that'll come within the next 15 years. So ultimately, what we're trying to do is just provide the most efficient of everything besides the battery, because the battery is such a moving target. And then as battery technology improves, your vehicle will improve, because when your current battery wears out, we'll put in something that goes farther.
Well, I have a final question for you, and then I don't know if Cheryl has any questions before we conclude the interview. But since this is Stana Talk Radio and we promote Stana Caddick, I wanted to ask you now, Stana paid a visit to you up in this summer, and as you know, she's created her alternative travel project website, which you were just talking about. She'll eventually be showing some video that she took up while she was visiting.
She hasn't visited us yet. We actually visited her down
here. Oh, well, down here. Okay.
But
I saw pictures.
Yep.
Okay, now, how do you think Archimodo will fit into her ATP goals? You'll fit in there somewhere?
From what I understand, she's a passionate advocate for responsible transportation, and that's really what I get the sense that ATP is all about. So her interest in learning more about the project certainly stemmed from her passion in that area, and the sense that I got from her was that it was a very compatible set of values. So I have great respect for what she's done and the amount of awareness that she's bringing to sort of the basic question of getting from A to B, and can we do it better?
Well, your mission statements fit inside each other, so that I think they marry up perfectly. Anyway,
and we now have in Los Angeles the new subway system. And,
nice.
People are taking the buses and the train down there and the bicycles, and I know Seamus has ridden his bike to work there at Castle, and Stana has hoofed it, you know, and did the subway, and we'll hopefully see Nathan getting one of these electric cars, and maybe Stana and John, all of them following suit next year. So for us, I'd like to thank you for being on our show. Cheryl, would you like to say anything, or do you have any callers for Mark? Anything going on there? Any questions from Twitter before we let him go?
I have lots of people listening in. Nobody has raised their hand. I think they're afraid to. I think it's a very technical topic. But I did want to say, Mark, your cell phone held out. Yay. And it's been a pleasure to meet you. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to spend time with us. I know I and our listeners learned a lot from you tonight about Archimodo and your whole fleet of cars. Please, please tell everyone on your team. We sincerely hope that your company continues to grow and grow. And if when you're ready for those Midwestern testers, I've raised my hand. I hope you see it. I'm waving.
I will certainly pass along the good words to the team. And I very much appreciate the opportunity to speak with you both this evening. So thanks for having me on the air. I actually did sneak home during the call, so I'm plugged
I heard you walking
hall.
Around.
and so that's what's allowed us to continue the discussion through my discharged battery.
Those batteries.
But yeah, thank you, Gaia. The one in the vehicle is substantially larger than the one in this iPhone, I can tell you that much.
Well, when you're ready to bring out the cars next year, and if we're still here, we have thousands of listeners around the world, and as long as Cheryl and I keep doing the show and we feel a positive, you know, feedback from the fans out there, we'd love to have you come back on when you're ready to go, you know, out there with the cars and let us know what's going on. And if you work with anything to do with Stana with ATP, just give us an email and we'll put you back on the air. You can let us know what else is going on.
I very much appreciate that. I will will take you up on that offer. And also, stay tuned on ATP because I believe that Stana's interview with me is going to go up
pretty soon.
So it'll go up in the next week or two.
I'm following you on Twitter, both accounts, and we're going to put those out there. And then Cheryl, we have the Facebook, of course. So and then we'll put out your website information so people can go over there and look at the question and answer section. Boy, I'm stumbling over my words here. But we'll put all that out there after we go off air with you, and we'll continue on with the program. So thank you so much for coming on tonight. It was a lot of fun. I had to learn a lot to do this interview.
Good. Well, we're doing our job then. So, thank you both for having me, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
All right. You take care,
Mark.
And